chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mottawokta, Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken Petaluma, never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
There we go. It's been a really long day. Mike, were you pouring at the Gravenstein Apple Fair?
Yeah, I was working the microbrew tent, which was it was a lot of fun. We had a huge number of people. We were completely out of beer by like 4:20, 4:30.
Huh, 4:20 out of beer, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was completely incidental.
You just walked into that.
But yeah, we were out of beer, and Woodford was going to bring another 2 kegs over, but I had to leave before
we
had the opportunity to tap them. That was at 5 o'clock.
Wow. Now, yes, I was there yesterday as a guest. The first time I've been just like hanging out without an official job at the fair in many years. It must not have been as crowded yesterday, because I know I had my last cider at about 4:30 and then went home, and there was still plenty of everything.
No, see, they were completely out of cider. They were completely out of beer by 4:30.
Well, then, congratulations. That means they exceeded expectations,
yeah.
And that's fabulous. And I just want to say congratulations to the extremely hardworking Carmen Snyder, Executive Director of Farm Trails and Director and Manager of the fair itself.
Yeah,
I know she worked so hard. I had several volunteers today helping me when I was doing my cooking demo, and it was a standing room only demo, and it went very well, and it went very well in part because under Donna of, I think it's Donna Del Rey, mm-hmm. of Relish, she did a really good job organizing things.
Mm-hmm.
My food turned out really well, and you just never know because you're doing more than just cooking. But yesterday it was great. Today it was great. So I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, and it wasn't terribly hot today.
It was actually temperature-wise, it was cooler.
Yeah,
but it felt hot there. And I know there's so much hay around. I've been allergy-ridden yesterday and today. But hey, it's Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB. It is Michelle and Jordan, a little slap happy since I've been working since about 5 or 5:30 this morning. But now we're on to the next thing, and we are going to focus on something delicious and so much a part of Petaluma and of my time in Petaluma when I lived there and was raising my little girls on a little dairy farm there. One of the things we loved to do was go out to Marin French Cheese Company. And we'd take picnics and sitting there on the sloping lawn next to the lake, and the girls could run around. And I did that for years and years, and I continued to do it when I moved to Cotati, continued to do it when I moved to Sebastopol, and would take friends when they were visiting from other areas, and also took classes that I taught. I taught a cook's tour of Sonoma for several years at Santa Rosa Junior College, until it just got unrealistic to go to 3, 4, or 5 farms in a day because of traffic. But we would often go out there, and I remember in the spring sitting and watching the beautiful red-winged blackbirds and eating the schloss. Is that pronouncing it right? Eating the camembert and just enjoying myself. It's been around, I think, 150 years.
Yes, hi.
And we have Lynn Devereaux, who is here to talk about a second annual celebration that is coming up next Sunday.
Right. It's nice, nice to be here.
It's great to be here. Great to have you. Thank you for coming.
Oh, Michelle, I can't tell you how many people have come to me over the last year of celebrating 150 years and told me all of their personal stories about the cheese factory.
Yeah, it's
some
a great place.
Some of them don't even know about the name Marin French or Rouge et Noir, but it is, for the locals, it's the cheese factory.
Right, yeah.
And people have gotten engaged there. A lot of the farming families in the neighborhood used to have to catch the school bus on the corner.
Oh.
I can't tell you how many people came to us and told me that they had worked there because they were conscripted during Christmas time to pack boxes.
Oh, okay.
Right? And maybe some of them even got a chance to make cheese. But it's a real jewel in our community. Mm-hmm. It's been family-owned by the Thompsons until 1998 when Jim Boyce purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim had an untimely death about 4.5 years ago.
What happened with him?
He got liver cancer.
Oh, gosh.
Just couldn't even, like...
That comes on really fast.
It came on fast. So, luckily, the French family that purchased Laura Chanel several years ago found that fell in love, really, with Marin French, and it really reminded them of course, the cheeses that they love, the soft-ripened cheeses that they know how to make. And they were determined to bring it up to, you know, technical standards. So they've redone all of the manufacturing rooms, the production rooms, and the aging rooms. It's like, I tell people, it's like going from the Gold Rush to NASA.
Really?
Yes, inside.
Now, I haven't seen it since before it was sold.
Okay.
The
but
first
from
time.
From the outside, you'd still say it's the same.
Oh, yeah, oh, I pass it. I pass
so
it by
they
many
had
times.
And they've had a nice light touch with keeping the way the community wants it to be, but making the cheese better, more consistent, bringing the, you know, just bringing that way of working on cheese easier on the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're not bending over so much. Anyway,
oh,
it's pretty cool. I'll have to get you a behind-the-scenes tour one day.
Definitely, definitely. Let's go back with history and talk about the first cheese. Was it the breakfast cheese or the schloss?
It wasn't the schloss.
Oh, it wasn't.
The schloss came around in the 30s.
Okay.
It was a form of the breakfast cheese, which is an unripened brie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really a very light-cultured brie. And it went by wagon from the creamery to Petaluma, where it was loaded onto boats, and then it went down the Petaluma River to
San Francisco. What, about 8 miles from the center
to
of town?
To the bay, right, which was Yerba Buena at the time. It wasn't even San Francisco
yet. Yeah, Yerba Buena.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that it's, wow, before it was San Francisco.
1865, so we're talking Abe Lincoln, and Marin County was this really rich and booming dairy land.
Mm-hmm, right.
They were most famous for butter, right?
Yeah, that's what most dairy farmers made their money at. They made it with butter because, of course, this was pre-refrigeration.
Yeah.
And so the way, you know, people didn't drink milk like they drink milk now, and they made butter. The whey went to feed the pigs.
Yeah, yeah. Just like in the old country. So, and you know, the whole land is populated with these wonderful Italian Swiss families that brought their traditions with them. So I think Marin French, last year we spent a whole year doing the 150th anniversaries and collecting stories. And Dewey Livingston made a history for us. And Kathleen Hill brought all of all of these boxes and dusty files from years. And
oh, Kathleen, what a pack rat.
But her eyes lit up when she saw those things. And she ended up making the most comprehensive history.
Oh, good for her.
And pulling it all together so we have a timeline now of how, how the company flowed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, it's a part of the local scene, and it's a jewel, and they're still winning awards. The cheeses that I brought today are two new ones. This one, I'm going to tell you, your listeners, what it looks like, because it's this, it's almost flowing, bloomy, rinded brie. It's so ripe, but it is edged in a ash, and then on top of the ash, it has the candidum, the white rind.
Okay.
And they're calling it Dark Moon.
So well, that's a good name.
Dark Moon won an award at the California Expo, the Cal State Fair. It just came out. It's only been out recently. We're going to taste it.
And we're going to taste it really soon. I really do love that name.
Good, good, good. And it's unusual to have a cow's milk bloomy rind with that ash underneath.
Absolutely.
It's very traditional. I brought a goat cheese from Laura Chanel, and that's the sort of Loire recognition with the ash on that one.
Right. Yeah, I think we think more of ash on goat cheeses.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very interesting.
And then this other one, which is kind of fun, is called Petite Jalapeno. So in their line of petite cheeses, which is breakfast cheese and petite creme, this one is, again, it's the really luscious, sweet cow's milk that comes from their neighboring farms. But then they spice it up with some red and green jalapeno.
Oh, so that's what... Right there, it almost looks like little bits of apricot.
Oh.
That's just the way the light's hitting
idea.
It. But yeah, there you go. Dried instead of dried apricot alongside, dried apricot inside. Yeah. So do we get to taste these now?
Yes.
Which one should we taste first?
I think the Dark Moon first.
Yes, that's what I would have said.
Yeah. And I can do this. And this is going to be... I have a fork, but...
It's, you know, fingers are good.
It's... The cheese is... See? It invites fingers.
Mm.
It's really ripe.
That is lovely.
So the
this is the Dark Moon.
This is Dark Moon. And it that ash brings a little bit of earthiness to
it. Absolutely.
This. I'm going to taste it with you.
That's really an absolutely perfect cheese.
The rind is thin, but when you get into the rind, that's when you really get the extra flavor. You get a little, there's a little bitterness in the rind, but it's balanced, I think, by the sweet cream on the inside.
Yeah, and the sweetness of the cream is really lovely. Where are they getting the milk?
They get the milk from five neighboring farms, small farms, and they've been doing it for years, getting... the same farms, because they need a mixture of Jersey milk, which is high in butterfat.
Right, so they're doing both Jersey and Guernsey.
Yeah, and a little bit of Holstein.
Okay.
But there aren't that many Jersey farms that are big.
No,
so
not.
They have these long, long-term arrangements with the families to buy their milk and have that extra cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Dark Moon, that's my new favorite. Now it's on to, and this one is called Petite Jalapeno. You definitely get that jalapeno right away.
Right away. And I think the trick with these, we'll call them flavored cheeses, but America has a long history of flavored cheeses, and they got a really bad name for a while.
Yes. Deserved.
Exactly. Because the flavors were kind of an overlay. And there was to hide
little,
the cheese.
They were a little too gymnastic,
yeah,
I thought.
That's a good word.
Yeah. It was like, no, I want the cheese. If I want basil and sun-dried tomatoes, I'll have it outside the cheese, not inside.
Well, I think that the craving for flavors and cheeses is not going away. The trick is for the cheese maker to balance it so that you still taste the cheese. Now, I just got a piece with a jalapeno that was pretty warm.
Yes, the one I'm swallowing right now. That was hot. In fact, I'm going to chase it with this.
How about chasing it with some Carneros Hefeweizen?
Sure.
Let's try that.
Okay, I'll try that before I try another cheese. And while you're pouring, and maybe we'll hear the cap pop off. It's just such a good sound. Here we go. A little bit.
It's a polite pop.
You are having, the reason for the timing, I've wanted to have you on for a long time. The reason for the timing is that you have a picnic happening.
We do.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, a week from today.
Tell us about that.
Well, it started last year, Michelle, because so many people came to Marin French last Sunday who hadn't been there in a really long time, and they were so delighted. We had three different picnics last year, so we decided we would make this an annual invitation. Mm-hmm. And we're calling it the Summer Picnic Party. It's back on the barbecue lawn, so we'll have a couple hundred people. We have a wonderful live band that we found at Cornerstone during the Sunset Celebration, and they're called No Pardon. And No Pardon.
No Pardon, that's pretty funny.
Isn't that great? It's a trio. So it's a guitar, a fiddle, and a stand-up bass, right? And they do kind of a creative mashup of folk and funk and country. The event is from 11 to 3. Mm-hmm. Tickets are only $12.50. You can get them through our website, which is marinfrenchcheese.com.
Okay.
Kids under 12 are free. And if you just come to the door, if you just come out there next Sunday, it's $15 at the door, $12.50 mm-hmm. in advance.
And what happens?
Well, we have 26 vendors.
Oh, you're having vendors.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a market-style event, so picture all the vendors out on the lawn, and it's lots of cheese. And as far as the beverages, we have Klein and Jacuzzi. We have Silverado, what we're going to taste mm-hmm. next. We have Carneros Brewing, and we have, of course, our favorite Sonoma Port Work. So those for adults. We have tea and trumpets for the kids. We're going to have two food trucks. So the Fig Rig mm-hmm. From the Girl in the Fig and Ultra Crepes from Sebastopol. Plus, there'll be charcuterie. There's going to be pickles and hams and crackers and, did I say cheese? Mm-hmm. Chocolates. Mm-hmm. A lot of really nice local makers mm-hmm. of food that we love. We've got a special presentation and fun interactive thing for kids by the North Bay Children's Center.
Oh, great.
And they're going to do seeds and it's sort of an art, creative garden and art project for kids. Mm-hmm. We'll have beekeeping.
Oh, great.
Our beekeeper, Bonnie Morris, is going to be out there with her.
No, you say your beekeeper. Is she keeping bees there? Excellent.
She does. We got her hives out there a couple of years ago, so now we have estate honey, Marin French
cool.
honey.
Oh, excellent.
So we'll be tasting that with some of the cheeses. Mm-hmm. And then our wonderful cheesemaker, Alex, is going to be out there doing some cheesemaking demos. Mm-hmm. The magic. How does milk become cheese? Right?
Yes, who was it who said, milk's leap towards immortality.
That's right.
And you know what? We got to take a little musical break here because I'm going to sneeze. Yes, it is mouthful. Mm, the cheese is so good. It's been a while. I have to tell you something I used to do with Marin French cheese all the time back when I was working as a chef, entering foods in Harvest Fair Festival, catering at, with your the little camemberts.
Yeah.
What I would do is I would cut them in half using dental floss. So I would cut them in half and open them up like a layer cake. Mm-hmm. And then I had a variety of compound butters. I had a basil butter. I had a curry not too hot. I had a curry butter, basil butter, sun-dried tomato butter, and one other butter. And I would spread a layer of the butter, put, you know, on one side, put the other one back on top, and then chill it. So that it would set up nice, and then cut it in little slices and put it on crackers or croutons, and you had this beautiful little slice of color, mm-hmm. or little patch of color in the middle, mm-hmm. and then this flavor, but not actually in the cheese, just complementing the cheese.
Oh,
so I did. One of my books has those recipes mm-hmm. in it, but I think that's the a Cook's Tour of Sonoma, and that one's out of print.
Mm-hmm.
But I made hundreds of those, and I won awards for them at the Harvest Fair back when I entered.
It was so unique at the time.
It was.
Honestly, we are slow, as Americans, we're kind of slow to come to understanding these French-style cheeses mm-hmm. with the bloomy rinds, and so cutting it apart and putting something really pretty in the middle.
It was really good.
It looked like jewels.
Maybe I'll do some for old time's sake. Maybe I'll do some and have them for you.
So we could get you some petite camembert.
That would be perfect.
It's just, it could be a hot day, so you want to just be prepared that it would be kind of a soft, buttery
Yeah, cheese. And that's okay. Well, you just keep them in your cooler until it's time to come out.
Yeah.
And there you go.
This is even more reason for all of you to come to Marin French next Sunday, the 21st, from 11 to 3. And tickets in advance at marinfrenchcheese.com. If you haven't been there in a while, you'll so be filled with memories.
And I see you have Kathleen Hill doing an exhibit of her culinary. She has vintage cookware like you would not believe.
I saw a toaster, just her toasters, Williams-Sonoma. It's crazy, and they still work.
Yes, they still work. I have a few things, but what I have are and I keep thinking I should just give them to Kathleen because it's, a drop
them.
In the bucket. Yeah, she will.
And she's going to mostly bring dairy and cheese-related things mm-hmm. next week because that's what we're about, right? We're dairy, we're cheese, and all the goodies that go with them.
Perfect. I have Rustic Bakery. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know Farm Chocolate.
Farm Chocolate is from Sebastopol.
It's brand new.
You're going to find some new stuff.
Interesting, okay.
And, of course, Jimtown.
Jimtown.
They're great. They've been around, but their stuff goes really well with cheeses.
Mm-hmm. So they do that, it's fig and something else.
Olive.
Fig and olive that they sell all over the country.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary. I once ate a baguette with chèvre. And that fig olive jam, I ate it in my car because I stopped and grabbed something. I'd been out all day doing research. I swear, I thought I was dying and going to heaven.
Yeah.
It was just something about
suddenly
it.
Suddenly,
it was
in your
so
car anymore, right?
Perfect. Yes, it was transportive. So we got another cheese to taste.
We do. And the reason I brought this is because it is one of my favorite cheeses, and it's something that you know well, Taupinière from Laura Chanel Chev.
Taupinière, one of my favorite cheeses
and
ever.
Laura made up Taupinière when she was still making cheese at Laura Chanel. And
I think it's her Taupinière and Tome.
And Tome.
Were my two favorites.
And so it's really, you don't find the Taupinière out a lot. It's made for a lot of chefs, but it just is very delicate. Anyway, the reason I brought it is because Marin French and Laura Chanel are sisters companies.
Mm-hmm.
The Rions Group in France, was the one that Laura chose to buy her company mm-hmm. when she wanted to retire.
Right.
So it's really interesting that they have that kind of synchronicity, knowing the cheese, loving it, having a lot of respect for the brands that are our brands.
Mm-hmm. They bought two other cheese companies have sold. Are they the ones who bought them?
No, you're talking about the ones that Redwood Hill and Cypress Grove and now Cogwell
right,
Creamery.
Three. So that's not
That's Rose. A huge, Rose. Huge company called Emmy. It's a Swiss company.
Oh, that's
company.
Right. That's right. No,
huge.
Okay, that's right.
The group that bought Laura Chanel and Marin French is a family.
Uh-huh.
It's a Triboulot family, and they have some very small, they make Epoisses over in France. They have very small production, and they have some goat and some cow.
Uh-huh.
But
that's right, Emmy. Now I remember now.
Yeah, Emmy's enormous.
Right.
But, they're smart. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
We have these. I say that they bought the three jewels in our crown over here.
Yeah. And, they apparently it's all local control.
Yeah,
I know Jennifer and everyone, Jennifer Bice and everyone at Redwood Hill mm-hmm. is still doing what they've always done.
And Mary Keene up in Arcata at uh-huh. Cypress Grove. So she's about 4 years into having sold, and they're thriving and they're really
that's
happy.
Great. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Phew. Yes. So let's try that Taupinière.
Okay.
It's my nice little cheese tasting plate. And then I bet this Taupinière is going to go really
Pardon
well with
fingers.
Something along the line. Oh, it's not a problem.
I think we're back. We're going to the Loire, don't you think? We're headed to the Loire Valley.
I think that's a very good idea.
And just for that reason, we're gonna skip over that lovely Carneros Hefeweizen. By the way, this Carneros
That's a nice Hefeweizen.
Isn't it? And it's look at the way they spell it.
It's very toasty.
Yeah?
It's toastier than the ones I'm used to.
It's not so heavy on the citrus, which is why I like it with the cheese.
Uh-huh. It goes beautifully with
but
the cheese.
But Carneros Brewery is run and owned by the Ceja family, who make wine, of course, in Napa. But Jesus did a lot of homework, and he went to Davis, and he got his Master Brewer certificate, even though he comes from a wine family. And they have a wonderful tasting room. It's right in Sonoma, you know, right there on 121.
Right.
And so Hefeweizen is spelled J-E-F-E, as in Hefe. It's really fun for all your listeners who want to get out there.
And, of course, Hefeweizen, for people who don't know, it's made with wheat.
Yes. Yeah.
It is not gluten-free, in case you're wondering. But it is made for people who have a not-so-good relationship with hops.
Yeah.
And I think I'm allergic to hops.
Oh,
so I just, like... You don't want to be around me when I'm drinking something. I don't drink anything with hops if I have an option. You know, if I don't... Sometimes I do accidentally, if I don't realize it. But it affects me like a very big, oaky Chardonnay.
Oh, right.
So I get really... My nose starts running. I get swollen up. I get bloated. I don't feel good.
I feel
so
like
Hefeweizen is so nice.
Good, good. I'm glad. I feel like a lot of the breweries now are doing these estate hops, too. They're really drilling down into the varietals. So
yeah, they're starting to grow hops again. And plus, you know, with Pliny the Younger,
yep,
you know, people coming from all over the country for Pliny the Younger. And just in general, double and triple IPAs, which what that means is the more hops, the better. You know, double means a lot of hops, triple means even more. And those are the ones that are really dominating the field right now.
Yeah. I wonder why. We want a lot of flavor, because I think in America we've grown up on Anheuser-Busch and you know, kind of
we want more flavor
things.
And that America has always had an element of the bigger the better. And I think people think the way you make a beer big is to make it very hoppy
and bitter. They get bitter.
Well, that's what hops are very bitter. I'm a big fan of the new sour beers, sour beers that we're seeing. In fact, this time at the Gravenstein Apple Fair, they had Aunt Sadie. I think that's, no, Aunt Sally.
Aunt Sally.
Yeah, Lagunitas had Aunt Sally the first time. I knew about it, but I hadn't tasted it yet.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Woodfour had an oak-aged... sour beer.
Oh, no, they didn't have that yesterday.
No, they had a mini keg today, and they had used 300 pounds of strawberries to flavor it at the very end. There was just a scent of strawberries in this really sour tart beer. It was wonderful.
And it's so interesting. Emotionally, I just think, don't put fruit in my beer. That's my gut reaction. And then you taste the sour beers that have fruit in them, and it's like you say, it's barely an aroma.
Yeah.
There's just something really beautiful and engaging about it. So stop by Woodfour and try it.
Yeah, they're in the Barlow, and it was like a shrub almost. I mean, it was
not
quite that sour, but it was close.
So it's tart going to sour, because sour sometimes sounds like, you know, you're gonna pucker up.
I mean, there were a lot of people that made a lot of really sour faces when they tasted it.
Oh.
And these were the people that, after we ran out of IPA, said, "Oh, well, what do you have? Well, we've got this." And they'd taste it and said, "Is there any more beer anywhere else?"
People who have never tasted sour beer often have that reaction. I took my very first taste. Oh, my. I was smiling. Well, it's like, this is the beer I have been waiting for.
The thing is, you've got to take two tastes. The very first taste is really sour. Mm-hmm. And then your mouth adjusts a little bit. And 20 seconds later, you take the second taste and you say, oh, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I at least I did.
Yeah, I didn't even have to go to the second taste. It was like love at first taste. It's a beer made for me. The Taupinier, which is only slightly... aged around the rim, mm-hmm. is really God, it's been so long since I tasted this cheese. It makes me cry.
It's
beautiful.
It's floral. It's citrus. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's really.
And we opened up a Silverado Vineyard Sauvignon Blanc from their Miller Ranch, which has got a lot of little citrus notes in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes so perfectly with this cheese.
It's lovely. It's a great combination. Mm. But I'm going to go home.
All of this will be at the event next Sunday. Silverado will be there pouring this exact wine. Laura Chanel will have these cheeses.
I'm going to go home and make risotto with that Taupinier.
That's yours to take home.
Oh, you're tempting
risotto.
Me.
No, no.
Oh, risotto with that Taupinier.
Mm.
And the only thing I would add is some chopped Italian parsley. Mm. Just those two things. Mm-hmm. It will be gorgeous.
I think Michelle's going to invite us over for dinner, don't you?
I hope so.
We'll work that out. So when people pay $12.50, mm-hmm. or $15, mm-hmm. do they also bring extra money to eat from the food trucks and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And all of the vendors will be sampling. And mm-hmm. some of them, you might find something that you fall in love with, like the sour beer that you want to buy and take home. So we'll be giving out some nice, cute little bags that you can put your stash in. Mm-hmm. And usually, like at a farmer's market, they're going to give, good prices for those uh-huh. things. They're not going to be at the retail price. But I like the idea, too, that it's a sense of discovery. We've been very careful to choose local providers that make great products that you don't have to run around the county and find them. You can mm-hmm. get them all next Sunday and have yourself a very nice, array of pantry items to go with your cheeses. Mm-hmm. You can bring a picnic blanket.
You're reading my mind. That was my next question out of my mouth. Can you bring a blanket and
please.
Just lounge on the grass?
Absolutely, in front of the band, stay all day. We have a lot of picnic tables for those who would rather sit at a table than on the ground. Mm-hmm. We'll have hay bales here and there. But, it'll give you a chance over the 4 hours to go to each of the demonstrations and talk to Bonnie about the bees and talk to Alex about the cheese. Mm-hmm. And
how long has Alex been there?
Probably about 8 or 9 years
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been through all of the changes, all of this really great upgrade to all of the equipment, all of the changes. And mm-hmm. he still makes all of his cheese in buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I remember.
So that gives him a lot of control over each batch.
Sure.
Because, people think of Marin French as a very big company because it has won international awards mm-hmm. for its cheeses.
And are you distributed in all 50 states?
Well, probably not all 50.
But most?
I don't think we're in some of the Dakotas. And,
oh.
But we're working our way there, believe me. Yeah. We're from here to Florida. It's a very delicate cheese. It's bloomy rind.
Mm-hmm.
It's ripe in 21 days. It leaves home. It leaves Petaluma, the creamery, at around 17 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's got a lifespan of maybe 4 weeks.
Mm.
So to go to New York, they have to be able to sell it pretty quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would think in places like New York and Boston, for example, I would think there'd be a lot of interest.
There's a lot of
Chicago.
Interest. Chicago's great.
What about New Orleans?
Great cheese town. New Orleans, I think there's only a couple of good, really, really, really good cheese shops there, but mm-hmm. we're there.
And one, okay, good. The one thing, I don't typically shop at Whole Foods in Sonoma County because we don't have to. I try to give I try to do most of my shopping either directly at a farm stand or to a farmer's market. I want as much money as possible to go to the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go see my daughter, Nicole, who lives in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I don't fly into Gulfport. I fly into New Orleans. She meets me. We spend a couple days in New Orleans. And then before we drive to Hattiesburg, we stop off at Whole Foods mm-hmm. and stock up because that's the place. I mean, she loves Sonoma County foods. I bring what I can.
She's spoiled. She knows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She grew up running on the grass at Marin French. But, you can get a number of Sonoma County products mm-hmm. in Whole Foods.
Yes.
And she can actually find Redwood Hill yogurt. In Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it is made, right? The goat milk comes from here.
Yes,
so she'll
absolutely.
Recognize. You know what? Speaking of farmers, we have on Marin French's property, which is 600 privately owned but publicly open acres. So 600 of the acres, that's the original Thompson Creamery. Part of it is being row cropped by Marin Roots Farm.
Oh.
So when you drive out the Point Reyes Petaluma Road, just as that T where Novato mm-hmm. Boulevard hits, if you look west, kind of northwest, that's Jesse Coons and Marin Roots Farm. And so he's throughout the year always changing the crops. He does a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. He sells at the farmer's market in San Rafael on Thursday mornings, mm-hmm. and he's going to be there.
So oh, great. Yeah, I saw that he's listed.
He's listed, and he's bringing some of his goodies, and he's just going to be able to have a more relaxed setting for people to talk about what it's like to farm there. Mm-hmm. You can imagine with the drought over the last 4 years, oh. cheese making takes a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Growing row crops takes a lot of water, so it's been a really good relationship managing water use mm-hmm. with Jesse and the bees and the pigs, you know, because we have Devil's Gulch Ranch, Mark Pasternak.
He's right. He's really close.
He's 3 miles
away.
And he's raising pigs on the property now.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we found
Will he be there?
He'll be there.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, he's making pork sliders.
Oh, cool.
He's
a great guy. He's been on Mouthful before.
He's great.
Yes.
And he's really
see, you
good.
Have to have me come.
It's your family. And that's why I think all your listeners will say, oh, I know them. And then you get to see them all in one place. How good is that for an afternoon? The other thing is that I think school starts on the 22nd, doesn't it?
School starts in Sebastopol on the 17th.
Oh, like it already started?
This Wednesday.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. I think it's a great... I hate to mention this, KGO, this
okay.
weekend in San Francisco, because it's to me, it's a great chance to do
sure.
something with the family before school starts, and it's relaxing. Not a big deal. There's not a lot of traffic going out there these
right.
days.
It's not like the Gravenstein Apple Fair. I mean, there's no way to avoid massive traffic situations at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. There's just no... I know the only shortcuts that are possible because I live about 3/4 mile from there. I could walk there. But I don't walk there. Like, I didn't walk there this time because I was doing the cooking demo and taking a lot with me. Mm-hmm. But I have at times walked there. But it's a one-lane road going in from two directions and then a one-lane road from a third direction. And there's nowhere to escape. Mm. So it's much different when you're heading out to Marin French because in addition to, you know, the Gravenstein Apple Fair, in addition to the fair traffic, you have domestic traffic. You have people that are going to the store. Oops, they forgot what was happening. Or, you know, they're going to West County or something.
Anything particular I can...
We're refilling our plates. And we still have one cheese that we haven't tasted, right?
And this is the classic Marin French traditional brie. This is the single creme, not the triple creme.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask me why I didn't bring the triple creme because, you know, it's hard to pass up a good brie, and I just want you to refresh your palate.
You bet. My pleasure. Let's take one. Oh, go ahead.
One thing about the parking at the Apple Festival, the very best way is to go park at O'Reilly and take the shuttle.
Sure.
Because they, you know, I parked there, the shuttle comes. I mean, I waited 3 minutes, the shuttle was taking me in. I was waiting to leave. There were two shuttles there, and I was back at my car in 3 minutes. No trouble, no walking, no fighting with people. And the buses get priority through the traffic lanes.
Right. Yeah.
So it's the way to do it.
It is. It absolutely is. And I was lucky because I had a VIP parking pass because, you know, I was a chef today, and one of the things we get is a weekend. But that doesn't get you out of the traffic lane. It gets you a decent place to park, but you still have, you might have a really long wait to get in.
Right. Get in and get out. And getting, you know, I typically get there early enough that there's not a problem getting in, but getting out is just a disaster.
Yeah. I was, I talked my way through the wrong way getting out and said, they told me to go this way because I have to get out of here in a hurry. My bad. It didn't hurt anybody. It's so good. Let's hear a little more music. But before we do, tell us what we're going to hear. And congratulations to Kevin Russell and Kirby and everybody else for their award from the North Bay Bohemian.
So it's unclear whether they actually won the award or whether they're playing at the awards. They're definitely playing at the awards, but I don't know.
And their picture was in the article.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
So our friend and engineer Kirby is a keyboard player who plays with the Rhythm Rangers quite a bit, and he's out this Sunday, because he's at the Bohemian Music Awards. Mm-hmm. So we're playing Kevin Russell, and this is Midnight.
That's so cool.
Midnight, spend another lonely night thinking of you. Midnight, tomorrow is on its way, empty and blue. I'm so lonely, so lonely at midnight for you.
Thank you. Can a blue man sing the whites? That's what I want to know.
Beer.
Okay, that was that the Rhythm Rangers?
That was the Rhythm Rangers.
Okay, Midnight, in honor of Dark Moon. You just have to, I love the names of things. Oh, I love the idea of naming things. Mm. And sometimes the names work, sometimes don't, but Dark Moon rocks. let's talk about Marin French, totally separate from the Picnic. When is it open?
It's open every day, Michelle, because it is such a part of the culture. It's open every day from 8:30 to 5.
God, and that's early.
Yeah, because I know. Can you believe it? People are out there.
But that's great.
Fishing in the pond.
People can fish in the pond?
Yep.
What do you have?
There's some interesting fish there. I really have not explored it, but every once in a while I'll see the boys come out with a group. With a leader, like a summer camp, and they're learning how to cast and stuff in the pond. It's a catch and release, whatever you do catch. But there are a lot of grandfathers that bring their grandsons and daughters there to teach them how to fish and bait the hook and do the whole thing. So it's a generational place. The retail shop, which if you haven't been to recently, you should revisit it, because my darling Jacqueline Buchanan, chef from Copia days, was charged with kind of upgrading the food offering there. Mm-hmm. And so we built out a nice little kind of a demi kitchen where they can make paninis now.
So oh,
if
nice.
If you're out there and you just happen to drop in and you didn't bring your picnic, you have everything.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. Salads, nice grilled sandwiches with lots of cheese. And then the retail shop has begun to specialize in more locally made foods. Mm-hmm. So that when folks are visiting our area and they have the choice of one or two places that they can stop, we want to be able to be that place where they can find all the local fun foods. And
yeah,
take them back.
That definitely wasn't part of it before.
No, it was.
So that's a nice addition.
Yeah, it's a different addition. It's a destination now. Mm-hmm. And so luckily it hasn't changed. You're going to recognize it. Our cheesemaker lives on the property in the house that the Thompsons built.
Oh,
and
that's
that
great.
Originally that house served all of the people who worked there when there were still animals on the property. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have, the roads weren't as good and people didn't travel so far. You could see still a door and a window where they would come through and get their food that was served out of the big house. Mm-hmm. So Alex and his darling wife live in the big house now. So all he has to do is roll out of bed and get into the creamery and he's at work.
Oh, that's perfect. And I really love the idea that you open at 8:30 because so many places don't open until 10:30, 11, especially tasting rooms. But when it's hot, and even though fall has arrived, I'm going to talk about that in just a second, we're due for some hot weather. Uh-huh. And there's just something lovely about a morning picnic.
Yeah. Oh, so, what a good idea. You know, and breakfast cheese, right?
Exactly.
And fruit.
You can leave, say, Sebastopol at 7:45, not drive too fast, and get there at 8:30.
And be there for the mist is still on the pond.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Watch the mist rise, watch the fog lift, loll on the grass, listen to the birds, and then head home before it's too hot.
But I'll tell you one other thing that happens at 8:30 in the morning is that all the folks going either out to the coast for work.
Stop to get their lunch.
They stop to get their lunch. We have to make sure that what we offer at that shop is for the people who are driving by on their way to work and back. Mm-hmm. Rick LaFranchi at Nicasio Valley Cheese Company is always on the road selling cheese. So I see him in that shop more than anybody else. He stops, he gets his drink, he gets his sandwich, and he's in the car selling cheese after that.
Oh, that's great.
So it has to be able to serve the community.
Sure.
In a reasonable way with good pricing, and then it also has to be a showplace for the local foods.
Sure. And so I wanted to say something about fall, because I'm trying to ignore a couple of signs that we have in early fall. Naked ladies are everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're a good, I think, 2 to 3 weeks earlier than in a typical year. I remember them suddenly showing up the end of August, not the second week of August.
Oh.
So we've got naked ladies everywhere. And I've noticed, for maybe 10 days, I've noticed that golden fall light in the afternoon, where just suddenly you look and it just looks like somebody took a paintbrush and went over everything, even the air, with that little golden glow. And it's like, no, it's not happening yet. And last night or yesterday, I saw it, and it's like, it's happening. Well, today, this afternoon, I was giving a talk, a speech, whatever, at the Redwood, for the Redwood Writers Monthly Meeting. This was at Flamingo in Santa Rosa. Loaded up my car, and I just stepped outside right at almost exactly at 5 o'clock. Breathed in, and it was like there was the fall air.
Oh,
there it was, and I just stood there for a minute, transfixed, and it's like, it's it wasn't a whiff of fall air. It's like, there it is. You know, we have gone over that waterfall or whatever it is, and we're entering the fall season. And it's not surprising. I mean, spring was so early. Summer crops were so early. So I think we're
it's the new early. It's the new season.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we may end up with early rains.
Oh, wouldn't that be a blessing?
Yeah. And, you know, wine harvest started earlier than I remember it ever.
Last year was even earlier. That's right.
Yeah.
It's happening. So we just need to adjust a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It happens. And it's okay.
And do you feel good about fall coming?
Well, I think fall triggers. I mean, I've written several essays, and I'm going to post them on my website. We don't have too much time. I think fall triggers in us a combination of bittersweetness. I think there's something atavistic about it in our blood, in that our ancestors, when fall was coming on and before they knew about the rotation of the earth, and they were coming into the time of the opposite of plenty, the time of lack,
the dark time.
Darkness, not knowing necessarily if they would have enough food to get them through the dark time. So I think that there's this atavistic sadness that is just in our DNA. That said, I think it's an absolutely beautiful time of year. I love it. But I'm not immune to that pull and that sense of impending loss. I just think that's part of the fascinating element of the seasons.
Yes, death and rebirth.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I don't mind that feeling at all.
And it's such abundance. It's coupled with this amazing abundance.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you better hurry up and start canning your tomatoes, because there's
a lot of them. Yeah, there are.
And on that note, it is next Sunday. This broadcast will be available as a podcast by Tuesday. I will also have all of the information about the summer picnic, which takes place next Sunday. Have that at michelleannajordan.com by tomorrow afternoon. And you can also just Google Marin French Petaluma, and it'll take you right there. I will be there next Sunday. I hope to see you there, too. Have a great week. Be good to yourself. Be good to everybody around you. Take good care.